cliffcentral.com.
Hello, 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 da-da-dum, 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 dum. Yes, we are live. We are with you on a Wednesday morning, and I'm joined this morning by Mbulelo Tinta, who's in the studio in Johannesburg, along with Mfundo Dladla and Sia Sangweni in Durban, Gord Laws in, we're in Bronston, Brew.
Douglas Dale, China, five ways.
Douglas Dale, boots. All right, eh?
Yeah, yes,
boots. That's incredible.
Yeah,
hey.
I'm the Tribune 4 hours. I need to be in 5 ways because it's real.
5 ways, my boots.
Principal side prodigy, China.
Can't
Tribune without a wide arc.
Kill this man. How you doing, Gordo?
Yeah, bro, I'm fucking hanging in. How are you?
This is such a fucking ridiculous thing. Isn't it ridiculous that we're stuck in our houses?
I think it's ridiculous that we ever need to go to the studio at such an early hour when we can just do it from home.
Well, I know what you're into.
Oh, you're also a convert now.
I know what's going on here. Like, Gord is like, yeah, I can do this. This is way easier than having to wake up and come in. No,
I actually... The early morning aside, because it's never been a secret that I'm no morning person.
No.
I actually like being in the studio with everyone, seeing you guys, smelling your handsome musk, see us floral aroma, everybody else's.
It's ylang ylang.
I always was wondering if it was ylang ylang or aloe vera, because it had to be one or the other.
Ylang ylang, that's Sia's favorite thing. Mm. In fact, I think he bought, just before lockdown, he went around and bought up all the ylang ylang. You can't get it anywhere now.
I used to call bullshit on ylang ylang as a young person. I would like, I don't believe in this thing. I think the beauty industry has just made up a word to sound like zhuzh, and there's no such fucking thing as ylang ylang.
Yeah?
Because, I mean, look, aloe vera is a real thing. I've seen an aloe plant, and I know about the healing properties of aloe. Like back in the day, if you lived in the right place and aloe grew wild, if anything happened to you, they just smear you in aloe and hope you live.
Yeah.
But like ylang ylang is just some bullshit. It's not real.
So nice you say it twice.
Well, apparently it comes from the Kananga odorata, which is a specific tree in Indonesia that they get the ylang ylang from. No, I'm not kidding. It is valued for the perfume extracted from its flowers. It's an essential oil in aromatherapy, which is obvious nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
The tree is also called the fragrant karananga.
Oh, yeah.
So it smells nice.
So if you go to India, it's everywhere.
Oh, really? You've been there as well?
I have been to India.
Jesus, you've been.
Obviously.
Dude, I got a message from someone last week already saying, Mbulelo has obviously spent like a month of every month of his life so far in a different place, because he seems to have been everywhere. When did you go to India?
When I was mid-20s, so 24, I think. I'm thinking correctly.
Did you go there on a spiritual...
God, I'm not a white girl, no.
Are you? I don't know. I'm one of the whitest people I've ever met in my life.
I'm not a white girl who just got dumped for an upgrade.
Is anyone also open to discussing the fact that Mbulelo could be a killer?
No.
A high quality assassin.
See, you think everyone's out to kill you. Let me tell you something. Like those parents who are paranoid that their kids are going to be abducted. Not everyone gets abducted, and not everyone is in such demand that there are people hanging around on every street corner waiting to kill them.
And you know what?
I hate to break it to you. I'm sure that on the scale of people who need killing, you are not near the top. You know,
I feel like your words, my parents at my memorial, will just be one sentence.
Oh,
he was right about the killer.
You know what, Sia? you really are not high up on the list of people who are going to be killed by someone who's got an issue. I mean, I can't imagine anyone.
Who would possibly want to kill Sia? He's like the nicest. He's the only nice person on the whole team.
Like right now, out of the four of us doing the show live this morning, and we can even include Mfundo, because there are going to be far less people who are actively plotting to murder Sia than there are people willing to do the same to Gord, Mbulelo, Gareth.
Except for if you take into account the hashtag jelly factor. Like, I can see that there would be a good case for murdering Sia because people are just stone cold jealous. of that level of fabulosity.
I didn't know where the jelly was coming in.
I'll explain it to you when we're off airs. Yeah? Young man, there's a few things I need to clarify for you, but I'm just not sure now's the time.
I'll take it as a compliment. Thank you.
Oh, there's going to be jelly.
Hey, listen, did you guys see that? Did you see that brilliant news story?
Which one?
New story about the celebrities spelling out "We're all in this together" with their yachts in the ocean.
Oh yeah,
that's awesome.
That couldn't have been real.
No,
that's awesome. A joke.
It's not real, but how awesome!
That is.
We're all in this together.
You see, I can live with that more than the Gal Gadot nonsense. I can live with that. Just show me that you're different with your yachts. That's awesome. Go with it.
Yeah, I mean, at least, you know, then you're at least like shoving it in our faces.
That you're
giving people something to aspire to. Like one day when things go back to normal, if you're completely talentless and in the right place at the right time, you might also get a yacht. I don't begrudge rich people.
If you show your ass to the right person or you suck the right dick, you could be on a yacht like me.
I don't begrudge rich people being rich, but I do think there's a opportunity when you have like a big social profile and that you have reach to say something meaningful. And even if your whole thing is that lighthearted entertainment, you can lightheartedly entertain people in a dark time. But as soon as you start thinking your opinion is especially important because you have a high profile, because you have the right ass or have boned the right pop star.
Because you're famous. Like if you've invented something amazing or you've come up with some terrific way to move money around and make a small margin on it and whatever it is that you do, if you've done something clever, cool. But like a celebrity, someone who's famous for essentially a luxury, that to me is just crazy. And that's why I've always hated celebrity, even when people said I was one in South Africa. I hated it. I never wanted to be. I don't want to be friends with celebrities, you know, that kind of thing. So listen to this. This is fantastic. This comes out of Australia. And I don't know if Gordon, Sia, and Bulelo can hear it, but I'm going to play it for everybody else because
I'm going to bloody miss it. This always happens.
You can always listen to the show afterwards, Gord. But I'll explain what's happening. There are all these people who are not celebrities thanking celebrities for their huge sacrifices. And it's just one of the best things I've seen on the internet. I know it's a couple of days old now, but I decided to play it since we're talking about it. Listen to this.
Hi. I'm Greta Lee Jackson, and I'm not a celebrity, but these people are, and during this time of crisis, they have provided the strength that we've all needed to get through. So it's time for us normal people to say thank you.
Now it's normal people thanking the celebs, right? Here they are.
I see a number of deaths every day, and the constant threat of being infected and taking that home to my family is terrifying. But the one thing that gives me strength to get to my job every day is watching Ellen broadcast from her mansion.
This is like being in jail, is what it is.
I'm waiting on hold for days now. I've lost my job, I've got no money, I've lost everything. But this video of Amanda Keller dancing around in her massive kitchen is really getting me through.
I have been working for 48 hours straight and my face hurts from wearing a mask for so long. I was going to go lick a patient to end it all, but Manu from MasterChef reminded me why I'm here.
I just had to break up a fight in aisle 3, and every day people call me a f***ing c***. But having Sam Armitage reassure me from her sprawling rural property really makes it all worthwhile.
We're all in this together.
My landlord refused to, give me a decrease in rent, so I'm out on the street. But, this bloke on the beach, man, he makes me feel better.
So it's all these celebs doing dumb stuff like dancing on the beach and, you know, complaining about how they feel like they're in jail from their mansions and all that stuff. And
Ellen.
And these ordinary, Australians are like, I've been called the C word for the last 6 weeks in hospital while I've been trying to care for patients. But thank God for Ellen. She's getting me through. Speaking of which, how's Oprah? Is she still getting you through, Sia?
Is she
picking those fucking vegetables still and wearing a stupid sun hat?
She has been dragged for filth over the weekend.
What?
Dragged for filth? That sounds like a fucking jaw.
What did she do? No. What did
I want to get? I'm keen to get dragged for filth as soon as possible.
What happened?
I'm so exhausted with It sounds like I'm just protecting Oprah because it's Oprah. But
that's exactly what exactly is going to be the case. Yeah,
it's once again this cancel culture and
they go after Oprah. Jesus, this is
my God.
Wow.
Does the cock crow three times before that happens? Does Judas Iscariot have to wash his hands in a certain direction before they can go after Oprah?
What happens to Oprah?
It's ridiculous. There was a portion of an interview that she did back in the 90s with Dennis Rodman that went viral over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Firstly, why and how? I don't know. What relevance was there? None at all. But it was, of course, that era when Dennis Rodman was gender bending, you know, wearing these high heels and, you know.
Or did he not fill in the right forms? Did he not get the right permission to gender bend?
So let me tell you the context. Let me tell you the context why Dennis Rodman's hot right now. Michael Jordan's Last Dance documentary came out.
Oh, on Netflix.
These last two episodes featured him going to Las Vegas in the middle of their last championship run. And Michael Jordan had to go fetch him. So that's the context.
Yeah, and of course, North Korea is in the news with Kim Jong-un either being dead or not. And he's Dennis Rodman's only friend in the whole world. So.
Yeah, so it was a portion of that interview where Oprah basically for 2 minutes, even though it starts off with Dennis Rodman saying, I'm not gay, for the next 2 minutes, in different ways, Oprah tries to worm an answer out of him, saying, could you be bi? Well, what does it mean when you dress up in women's clothes?
I mean, don't people realize, like, at the time, those were
that is exactly my point.
I mean, at the time, that was a perfectly acceptable question. Remember, we didn't know about trans because all of this is invented. It's been invented in the last while. And for those people who've truly felt transgender and felt like they're in the wrong body and all the rest, they were not a legitimate part of society in the 1980s and 90s. Nobody took that seriously. They thought that they were attention-seeking people with mental problems. Well, and some people still think they are.
I don't necessarily sort of take a stance from that perspective. I don't – whether trans is a made-up thing or it hasn't, it's been a thing in the past and it's only getting attention now is not the point. The point is
– it's very en vogue at the moment.
You can't go and retrofit the rules to the past.
Well, that's it.
Certain shit in certain movies from the 80s and the 90s would now be considered outrageous.
You can't watch Friends now without it offending people because the 90s, which is not even that long ago, the 90s were like totally non-PC compared to all this PC stuff that we hear now.
But
you and I are forced to defend Oprah Winfrey.
I know, for fuck's sake. But dude, like, people can't at the same time have their progress and eat it too. It's like you've gotten to the point where shit that used to be okay to say is no longer okay to say. Well done. You went on a mission to change what's okay to say, and you got a degree of success.
These people,
you cannot now go back in time and say, prior to our success.
These people are so uncomfortable with being winners in society that they cannot even count their victories.
Forget the fact that it's even about gender, that it's about trans, make it about Formula One racing. I don't care. Mm. If you fight to change things and then you get a degree of success and you can't just accept that it's like in that great book Factfulness, where Hans Rosling explains that things can be bad, but getting better. People go, it's either totally fucked or it's fixed. No, it was fucked and now it's getting better.
This is as a result of parents raising kids that they're never wrong. And this is where Oprah has to take some of the blame. I'm sorry, Sia, this is going to upset you a little bit. But the reality is people like Oprah in the mainstream media have for the longest time pandered to this crowd by saying to them, everything's acceptable. No matter how well you do, as long as you do the best you can, that's good enough. You're never wrong. And if people are going to hurt your feelings, if people are going to hurt your feelings by saying something, you're allowed to stand up to them. Now, dumb people, and there are lots of those in the world, have taken that to mean that if anybody says anything you don't like, you can cancel them. And that's been – it's been coddled and it's been looked after by people in the mainstream media for a long time because it suited them. Now that it's turning on them – because, I mean, this stuff, this is what I dealt with in that that case against Mnet all those years ago when I was basically being told I was politically incorrect for standing up for free speech, for God's sake. And I had to go to court to prove it. And at the time, yeah. everybody was like, oh, no, you know, this is a big deal. This is a big issue. And since then, we've seen everybody. We were just talking on the show yesterday about Lala Hirayama. I mean, for God's sake.
She's such a babe. I hope she didn't do anything wrong. She's super hot.
She did. She was apparently in a video making fun of colored people, according to some people. I mean, we got emails from people who are colored who said they weren't offended. They thought it was hilarious. But, you know, the Offense Brigade, the same people who complained that the Springbok is an apartheid symbol and that this animal, which is innocent of everything, it's also our national animal, by the way. It is the national animal of the Republic of South Africa circa 2020. It happens to be our national animal. So for Google to use it as a symbol in their Google Doodle seems to me to be perfectly acceptable. They use the fucking kangaroo when they talk about Australia.
Yeah, but it's all a question.
And then people hopped online. No, but listen, you'd think in a time of coronavirus, people did have real problems like unemployment. But there were a bunch of people on what they call Black Twitter, which is steadily becoming more and more poor and miserable by the day. There are a bunch of people on there who are saying, no, the Springbok is definitely a symbol of Afrikaner nationalism. It can't possibly be just an animal that represents a country that is our national animal.
Dude, it's just this whole cancel culture.
And Google had to apologize, for God's sake. Google.
Yeah, but I mean, Google serves billions of people. They shouldn't care about the few thousand or at best a couple of million that are on this. We need to disempower the Outrage Brigade by stopping. Cancelled by who?
Yes,
cancelled by who? Cancelled by a bunch of wankers who you don't care about in the first place. You know, right. I was talking about it on my little potty, what I call the Metallica concert effect. Like, if you go to the Metallica concert and then you do a quick spot referendum on whether Metallica are good or not, and then you go, okay, cool. Well, 100% of people love Metallica, except for the 9 people at the concert who were dragged there by their boyfriends or girlfriends who had the courage to say they hated it. And then obviously, you know, you go, these guys hate Metallica, and the whole concert of 70,000 people will lynch them. Then you leave the concert and go, right, well, we did some research. 100% of people love Metallica. Everyone else has to love them. You're an outlier. It's like there's this tiny minority of people that are giving a fuck on Twitter and social media.
They
are the whole world.
They believe
this. Well, we just give a shit, and we shouldn't. Like, there's this. I don't like Trump, but there's this general belief that Trump opposition is so overwhelming that for him to have won the election has to have been some sort of conspiracy or rigged thing.
Or a flaw in the fabric of the matrix or something.
It's not that 100% of everyone hates Trump. It's that everyone at the Metallica concert likes Metallica. You're asking your friends who already agree in the big room with the sign above the door that says people who agree, whether they agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, well, you know, just 1.5% of them.
When these guys start going after Google and Oprah Winfrey, then I...
Fuck them. Don't use Google. Don't live your life without Google, asshole. Close it off.
I think these people are going to be left behind.
Turn off Google, mate. You know, it's like people who go on Facebook to bitch about the functionality of Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's a private company. You don't have to use it. They've got the right to do whatever they like within the regulations of what is and isn't hate speech. They can make it so that only left-handed people get an advantage. Doesn't matter. It's up to them. If you've got a problem with how Google portray their Google Doodle, don't use Google. That'll teach them. You and the other 0.025% that your asshole vocal population represent, prove a point by turning it off.
Listen, it's so early for a rant, but people love it when Gord goes off like this. So I'm gonna just.
But it's true.
But it's the fact. It's like, don't bitch, because that's, you just want attention.
All right. Let's leave it alone. We've got someone on the line who wants to talk about Oprah. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Listen, all people and nations.
Listen, all people and
nations. The Antichrist has come. Oprah Winfrey of the Oprah Winfrey Show and founder of the New Earth Church is the Antichrist.
That's right. Oprah is the Antichrist, in case you didn't
know. I should have just stuck with a simple answer and have said she has a new series with Apple TV Plus, and I've been watching that.
I can't with Apple TV Plus. Like, I've tried. It's not that expensive. It's like 80, 90 rand a month. which I know in these kind of times is not something to be flippant about. I actually might cancel it just because I can't justify wiping my ass with a crisp 100 rand note every month.
Can I tell you what I did yesterday? And this is the first time I've done this exercise in probably about 3 or 4 years. I wrote down, I went through my bank statements and I wrote down everything I'm spending money on at the moment. And I looked at what I can cut out.
Oh, dude,
including all of these subscriptions and membership fees.
See, I printed out my credit card statements. I printed out my bank check account statement where all the debit orders come off. And I literally sat there with a highlighter and then I phoned 3 or 4 companies and had things canceled.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, dude, I was, for example, and here's a thing where one day, if people want to go back and cancel me, like they can just go look at what I was doing 10 years ago. Like, it, completely harmless expression, yinna, whenever a woman was hot. So I bought the domain yinna.co.za, and I've owned it and had a hosting package for it. Like 79 rand a month, a gold hosting package. In other words, the virtual space in which to build a website. And I
know how do you spell Jinne?
JINNE.co.za. And so I've been paying for hosting for a site that I never built since 2012.
I love that you had a site called Jinne. That's
what were you going to do?
I was
going to
make it like a platform for attractive people to post their pictures of themselves. You know, voluntarily. You know how the hateful left want to protect women from everything, including their right to portray themselves in bikinis. Mm. Like they've got the right to, but then you're not supposed to enjoy it. And then if you don't enjoy it, you hate their body. But if you do enjoy it, you're a misogynist or some shit.
You can't win.
You know, the same as like FHM, we were objectifying women. Meanwhile, there was like a room where we would keep the Z cards of women with their letters begging us to please put them in the magazine. Like it's as if we went and hunted them down, captured them on the beach with a net and forced them to be photographed. But, I wanted to like take things like what is now very common, culture in Instagram, like men and women who are like, hey, look how hot I am. Here's a picture of my G-string clad ass and a Bible verse with spelling errors in it, and just give them a platform to be on there and then like up and down voted basically and like featured people and kind of like non-porn babe eye candy for men and women.
Sure,
and it was just one of those where it seemed
I used to have a song that we used to play on the show whenever a beautiful girl came in. In fact, I met with our intern Megan a while ago. She was our intern on 5FM. I'll tell you the stories that she reminded me of from our show that when we had her intern for us. She was this beautiful, stunning. She still is gorgeous blonde girl who was fresh out of university and was looking for a job. And I hired her, and because management wouldn't pay for me to have an intern, I had to pay her. And we got her in on the show, and I mean, it was like a pittance. It was like her travel expenses, if that. And we had her there for about 2 months, but we used to make her do things that I would never get away with now. And I used to play I used to play this song whenever a beautiful girl came into the studio, whether it was a celebrity or someone who was completely unknown to the world or someone passing by the studio. What a piece of ass. It just went, what a piece of ass. And I'd
play
that.
Yeah, you see, like, this is the kind of thing where whether or not that's okay.
Now, if you found one of those shows, you would be able to. Feminists would be drooling about how
the
they
thing
could
is, like, they can't have it both ways to say, okay, well, we can accept to an extent that that kind of behavior is now, you know, social norms have now changed. Like, go look at a James Bond movie with Sean Connery.
Jesus, it looks like something.
Shit out of every woman. He would, like, beat the shit out of every woman that he, and then shag them and then, like, call them sweetheart and then leave them behind somewhere dangerous. Like, it's not okay. But it's a representation of the time in which it happened. Like we see a lot of stuff. Like I watched the movie Project X from 10 years ago, where like these young high school kids are just desperate to get laid by sluts, and that's what they're saying.
That was such a great movie.
Movie, but I also kind of cringed because it's only 10 or 12 years old, and I was like, geez, like you can't. You know, you can't portray that mentality of like, I just want to shag people at any cost, like deceive women into sleeping with me. But I mean, do you need to go back in time and then prosecute the people? Your success is that they're not doing it anymore.
I know, but Gord, you see, these are not smart people. They're not people who've ever picked up a book. They're not people who've ever read anything about history. They don't know. They don't know what life was like 20 years ago because they only
People need hobbies, dude.
But they only have their memory to go on, and we know your memory is completely fallible. You know.
But Gareth, what I struggle with is Oprah.
See, I'm just hurting for you that they dragged Oprah Winfrey.
What I struggle with is that these people also lack accountability by still watching the shows that were popular then.
Yeah.
You know, they had no problem watching Friends then,
but you know
they complain about Friends now.
All these people who are doing this are nobodies. They're not. So even when put together, there aren't any of them that we would recognize.
Well, put together, they become a bundle of sticks, which is far harder to break than an individual stick, i.e. the actual definition of fascism.
That's absolutely
an Italian word for
I was just about to point that together. Yeah, because that came from ancient Rome, where they would put together a bundle of sticks and put an axe in the middle of it. And then it was a weapon called a fasce.
Yeah, exactly.
Fascism
One
comes
stick
from.
Is easy to break, many together with the axe in the middle.
So anyway, I don't want us to keep on ranting about this, as much fun as it is. Gord, speaking of weapons, I saw you put up a status this week, which I just want to hear everybody's opinion on this. And by the way, we are taking your messages this morning, as every morning. Someone's just said here, Gord, we love your rants. In fact, let me give credit where it's due. Chris says, Gord, we love your rant. Rant, rant, rant.
Thanks, Chris. I kind of wish I could take credit for it, but I sometimes can't help it. I get triggered. So, but medieval weaponry, dude.
Yeah, so if we did go proper medieval, let's say all modern technology was suddenly removed and
post-apocalypse.
Yeah, we went dystopian and suddenly there was nothing that wasn't an edged weapon.
Well, it's the shit you can find.
You didn't have guns. Let's say that all the guns were rusted.
Well, you might have guns, but their bullets will run out very quickly.
Okay, so what's your weapon?
You know, I've given this a lot of thought because I thought to myself, it's only fair that you either have one big one or you can have two small ones, like two machetes or two like medium to small sword knives. But you can't have like a set of weapons. So I first was thinking a Poseidon-esque trident.
Oh,
because
trident.
It's got range. Mm. It's good for, you know, you can bash people with it. You can stab them with it. You can catch a weapon in it. But then my buddy Jason Palmer, J Palm Death, who I used to work at FHM with, wonderful guy, he said, I've given this like an embarrassing amount of thought.
Yeah.
And the best thing is one of those traditional style, you see them more in America than you do here, shovels, like a snow shovel. One of those ones that's a bit more sort of buckety than the ones we get in
really?
South Africa.
That's what you'd want?
Yeah, because you sharpen the edge of that and it's a cutting blade. You can blat someone from distance. It's got a long handle. You can smash someone with it like a bludgeon object. You can also use it as a utilitarian weapon. You can, you know, a non-weapon. You can dig holes.
Oh.
You can bury your dead. It's got great range for defense. You know, like, think about it. Like a snow shovel with a sharpened edge is definitely your apocalypse weapon.
I would so not have chosen that, but okay.
Because like a mason chain is good for style. It can do a lot of damage, but you don't have a great deal of control. It's not good defensively.
No. Let me tell you something. You want to wield a mason chain, you need to spend a huge amount. You first of all need to be super strong.
And you're going to murder yourself.
And you're going to hit yourself, and that's
And you're not great when you're being overwhelmed in numbers by five or six different enemies.
No, a mason chain is not good.
But it's got style points, right?
It's got style points. It would be frightening to meet someone with a mason chain. I remember in innumerable movies and TV series, whenever someone comes out with, you know, it's a big ball with spikes on it, and then it's got a chain.
And they swing it and murder you.
Every time I see those in the movies, I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
But you see, that's when you take your shovel and you just stop its momentum, and then while the dude's trying to get it going again, you just stab him or blat him with your spade. What's your weapon of choice, Gareth?
Oh, God. Mbulelo, you go first. I mean, you must have considered this at some point.
I hadn't. I've actually never, but I probably go with, I don't know, probably a longbow or something. I guess I'd have to be strong enough.
A bow staff or an actual bow and arrow?
I'd probably go with a bow staff, yeah.
Yeah, because a bow and arrow, a lot of people on my Facebook referendum went for the bow and arrow or crossbow. You're going to run out of arrows.
Yeah,
also, it's not good for when you're in retreat. Also, it's not good for close quarter combat. And even if you say, well, I'll just go get my arrows, they break over time. Mm-hmm. And also, if you're retreating from a large-scale attack, you can't go back and get your arrows from the few people you shot.
But if you're retreating from a large-scale attack with a shovel, you're dead. So I don't. Yeah.
Well, you can put space between yourself and the invaders. I mean, the whole thing is to be able to get away. You don't want to be stopping shooting, running backwards, stopping shooting, running backwards. You want to be shoving forward into the faces of the attack. Space between you and them.
Oh, yeah.
But a bow staff, I mean, it's good. It's got some of the benefits of the shovel. It's got good defensive. It's got long range. But I mean, why not stick a sharpy, pointy, blatty thing on the end of it?
I got to say that there are two weapons that really did last a long time in history. They were there early on, and they stuck around for a long time because they worked well. And they are, I mean, unsurprisingly, the sword and a longer sort of spear.
Yeah,
like the Macedonians would use, because that has incredible range, and you could throw it, but you don't need to, because as the guy with the sword is running up to you, you just have to give him a good, you know, poke in the ribs,
A good forward shove, a good stab and in also, the middle. It's hard to get out of the way of.
You can position that on the ground, so you don't need to have the physical strength to actually propel it forward. You just have to,
like in Braveheart,
steady,
and then you all lift it down at the same time.
You put it down into the ground, and you wait for him to run into it, basically.
Yeah,
and then
you lay it flat on the ground, and at the last second you lift it, and then you stick the butt of it into the earth, so that when the person and or their horse goes into it, you don't take the brunt of that force. They do.
Yeah, I mean, Alexander the Great conquered the known world with those. And
so really what I'm going for with the shovel is the long spear that you're talking about, bastardized with a utilitarian handy tool.
Yeah, I don't know that the warriors will be burying the dead. The warriors will be kind of protecting the women.
We haven't yet set up castes. You just are trying to survive, and you don't want to be eaten or made into a catamite.
I'm still not a catamite. There's a word we haven't used since the 1300s. Now watch them drag you for that, Gord.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember one of the most vivid and horrific things. I was reading Cormac McCarthy's The Road, which was later made into a very good movie with, is it Aaron Eckhart? Who's the guy who played Aragorn?
Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo Mortensen. It's a post-apocalyptic story. Cormac McCarthy is one of those writers who's so good that he's earned the right to not use punctuation because he knows what it's supposed to do. Anyway, he paints this terribly bleak post-apocalyptic world where there's really no point in surviving, but this dude's trying to get his son to somewhere safe, even though there isn't anywhere safe. And they hide out from this train of old tractor and truck things that are being pulled by yoked catamites. And the idea is they catch young people and then they...
No, young men. The whole idea with catamites is these are men who you use for
sex. They catch young men. Mm. They yoke them to the trucks and make them pull the trucks. They gun them when they need to. And then when they get older or they get uppity, then they eat them.
Well, this is the most horrific concept I've ever heard.
And I had to get the dictionary out and look up what catamite was.
This is basically Sia's idea of utopia, not post-apocalyptic. Sia's you must drag me in my chariot, and then I will I'll have my fun with you, and then after that I might kill you or eat you or none.
Or have someone else kill you.
Sia for a cannibalistic rapist, but I mean, you know him better than I did.
I just think catamite is something that might be more appealing to some people than that.
This is what you're using your post-apocalyptic weapon for. You're not part of a warrior. You haven't formed a tribal structure with hunters and gatherers.
So I get it. So it's basically you alone in the universe.
Well, or you and a handful of mates, but you're just trying to not die.
Okay. Well, the first thing humans will do as a weapon is form some kind of society.
First thing you want's a fat oak in your team, because you only need to outrun the fat oak, right? You don't need to outrun marauding.
That's why you've always been on my team.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Wow.
And also, if attackers don't get us, but famine does, you kill the fat oak, and if you're killing the thin oaks, you're going to have to kill several of them by the time the antelope return. But the fat oak will tide you over for a long time. I'm handy in an apocalypse.
All right. Eddie says, just before we get to the five things you need to know this morning, Eddie says, morning, guys. It's my birthday today. Happy birthday, Eddie.
Happy birthday, bro.
He says, so awesome to have it in lockdown. No sex, no drugs, no booze. Thank you for being my companion every morning. Leanne, Sia, Gareth, Gord, Bulelo, you're all very close to my heart. I try to walk around naked today and celebrate my individualism and my craziness. I have nothing to drink, but I will make the most of this day by being naked.
Oh, hell yeah, Eddie. I like that bright side mentality.
Love from your most loyal, lovely, sweetest listener, Eddie. I cannot even have birthday sex today. Shame. Eddie, dude. What can I
do? You need to have like, you have extra non-birthday sex when the time comes. Save this feeling, bottle this frustration, keep it somewhere handy, and then unleash it on the first consenting orifice that you encounter post-lockdown.
Orifice? Not sure. What an ear? Actually, I don't want to talk about this. No, goodbye.
A lot of people.
Oh my God, look, it's Carl.
A lot of people, very complimentary. Oh yeah, Carl's in the background here. Have you only noticed
he's
that?
He's in
now?
The background. He just repositioned himself for increased comfort and then went back to doing
that. Carl, trust me, that dog, he knows all about comfort. And fuck me, does he snore? This is how I absolutely know that I need to be alone for the rest of my life is because the dog, and you know, dogs are blameless. They are 100% love. You cannot hate, unless you are a psychopath of the highest order, you cannot hate a dog, especially your dog who loves you, right? There's no way. You would just be the worst kind of person if you hated a dog. And I find myself sometimes when he's going at night, I'm like, Jesus, I swear.
Just thinking that you could smother him so easily with a pillow, you could just put
I've never hurt the dog. But honestly,
stroke him gently.
You know, like when you haven't been able to get to sleep for 3 or 4 hours, and then you've got this noise going on. And even if he sleeps on the floor in the passage outside my room, I can still hear him. And this is how I know I could never live with anyone. I know couples where the wife snores or the husband snores or both of them snore, and oh my God, they almost try to time their sleep so that they can both get to sleep and they won't hear each other, because once you're sleeping, you don't hear it.
Yeah, I snore sometimes. It's like it's unpredictable. It's sometimes very minor and it's sometimes quite serious. Drunkenness and fatness are factors in increasing my snoring, but I can completely not snore one night and then be like a chainsaw that needs oil another night.
All right, let's get into some headlines. I know you're desperate. You're craving the headlines this morning.
Eddie wants both of those things.
Yeah, Eddie's so hungry for anything you can get. And happy birthday, Eddie.
Saw what I did there.
Listen, someone complimenting all of our sound quality this morning. Thank you very much. We're trying to keep it professional so that it doesn't sound like an Instagram live session. And if you're listening to us this morning and you like the sound quality, thank you, because we're trying very hard to make it sound
broadcasting good in the time of COVID.
That's right. Okay, so here is an arthritis drug which shows significant promise in severe COVID-19 cases. Apparently, the treatment, which suppresses the body's natural immune response, was found to reduce significantly the number of deaths or life support interventions compared with a group of control patients. And this comes from the National Institutes of Health, taken with a scanning electron microscope. It shows COVID-19 emerging from the surface of cells cultured in the lab. And then what they do is they give it this drug that is used in arthritis, and it seems to have the effect of stopping this virus from replicating. Now, I got to be honest with you. At this point, I'm about 5, maybe 10 degrees. Remember, you've got 360 degrees in a clock, so that's not far. I've got 5 to 10 degrees before I start calling this coronavirus the biggest hoax ever played on the human population of planet Earth. And I don't say that lightly. I took this as seriously as anyone else. You can go back and listen to the shows. I accepted my fate. We actually went into lockdown at Cliff Central about 3 or 4 days before everyone else. And I was supportive, and I thought, you know, there are all these leaders all over the world who are doing this, including our own president and our own government. Let's go with this. It's going to be interesting. We've got to stop this virus. It could potentially kill millions of people. Well, the figures are nothing near what they projected. The World Health Organization was so wrong about this from the get-go. And now anyone who challenges that orthodoxy is basically deplatformed on YouTube, on Facebook. They've all said, unless you are backing the WHO's position on this, you're basically going to be shut down. And I'm starting to see from a number of sources, and I really do try to keep an open mind to all of this. Remember, I used to read off every morning how many infections there were in the world. You remember that? And I would say how many deaths there were and how many recoveries. And those are WHO stats. I'm telling you now, I'm starting to get to the point where I'm like, you know what? This is all absolute bullshit. Really?
I think there's a difference.
Do you know someone who died?
Not yet, no.
Okay, that's not a good argument.
I know it's a terrible argument. It's totally anecdotal. Okay. But here's the thing, Mbulelo, there are less than, I think it's just gone over 100, but there are less than 150 people who've died in South Africa from this thing. And we've put everything on hold. We've all changed everything about our lives.
There's a difference when you started by using folks, and I think that there's a difference between perhaps a knee-jerk reaction.
I'm not saying the disease
overreaction.
I'm not that
a bunch of people, a bunch of nefarious people with hoods on.
No. What I'm saying is, I don't think the disease is a hoax. I don't think the disease doesn't exist. I think that it's a real thing, and I think it does kill people.
Do you think that the measures taken have an agenda behind them, or it's just people panicking, like with their heads cut off?
I don't know. That I don't know.
Because that's a difference between a hoax and we responded, knee-jerk.
I think that what's happened is that people have – their reactions have been totally overblown. And I feel like governments in the world have panicked because they didn't know what to do. And, we always think leaders are these superhuman creatures, but they're full of mistakes and fallibilities. And you can see it.
I love the way
Boris Johnson to Donald Trump to
assholes on Facebook with no information about anything will 1 week slate the government as completely useless imbeciles who can't fix a pothole, and the following week imply that they are capable of this massive, multi-level complicated conspiracy to suppress the truth and control the whole world with 5G towers. It's like, asshole, whether you are the slaves of a superhuman race that are vastly smarter than you, or if you are the superhuman race that no one can play a trick on and then stop giving the leaders so much credit.
Well, this is it. And I say this advisedly because through the course of the last 5 weeks, I've shifted in position and in terms of my own response to what I see going on around me. And steadily, I'm becoming more and more skeptical about the supposed danger of this COVID-19. For all you know, all of us who are listening to the show right now might have this. We might have already had it, and it might have passed us by, and we didn't even know. It's entirely possible. I mean, they've done surveys in various parts of the world, and this is precisely what they found, is that there were people who showed no symptoms, who got through it without any problem. And I'm just saying that all of this hysteria, and I know people are scared. I said this yesterday with Pumi on the show. I said, it suddenly occurred to me people are actually scared of this thing.
Look,
you were scared, Gord.
I am still scared. I mean, old people and fat people are the highest risk groups, and that's a reality, I think it's an Occam's razor type of situation where the simplest explanation is the best.
Right.
We didn't know what we were dealing with, and in the time we needed and still need to properly find out, we had to take whatever measures were necessary. Because the problem with this thing, and again, I always reiterate this as a non-expert but an enthusiast at informing myself as well as possible, is that the thing's real harm and danger is completely overwhelming the medical system. Putting somebody in every bed of every hospital, and then people that need intubation, it's not that it's going to kill everyone who gets it. It's not that it's going to kill 10-20% of the population. It's going to require three times as many hospital beds.
Well, that's what they told us. And my precise.
And it happened in some countries.
Dude, it hasn't happened here yet. And
Italy, Iran.
Sure. But those are also countries with tremendous population.
Everybody's just doing their best to prevent that until we can figure out what's going on.
I do want to move on because we could go down the rabbit hole on this one. And all I'm saying is I'm giving it a much wider berth than just believing.
On the topic of the rabbit hole, did you capture the rabbit that lives in your garden? And have you figured out the hide curing
process? Now there's news.
Now listen, Gord.
Yeah, let's talk about something important. Rabbits as the future of sustainable farming.
Gord, I sent Gord pictures of the rabbit. It's kind of just lurking in my garden the other day, and he suggested.
And I sent you advice on how you can get it. Yes. I mean, we've got to prepare, dude. It's time to get a spade. It's time to get a spear, and it's time to learn how to catch that rabbit.
Call a spade, and call rabbit food
lunch. Yeah. That widow pesky rabbit.
Hunt it, kill it, eat it.
So
make a slipper.
Health Minister Zweli Mkhize has provided details on how the specialist doctors from Cuba who arrived in the country on Sunday will be deployed. Listen to this. 29 doctors arrived from Cuba, and we're making such a fuss of this. Do you know why? Because it's all political. I mean, we've got doctors, right? We do not have a shortage of doctors at the moment, but we are paying an exorbitant amount. And guess who we pay this to? We pay this to the Cuban government. This is a way of us supporting Cuba, who was an ally of the ANC during the border wars, obviously, in Angola and Namibia. And this is a way for them to help their old comrades, because we don't need these 29 people. But my God, 29 people have never been regaled like this. It was all over the news. Naledi Pandor went to the airport. They're talking, you know, enthusiastically shaking each other's hands despite COVID and saying how great, you know, socialism is. This is the ANC doing dumb stuff under the banner of trying to help the country. 29 of these Cuban doctors, who, by the way, are deployed by the government of Cuba, and they are paid 25% of what the government of Cuba charges for those doctors. So 75% of what we're paying for each of these 29 doctors is going straight into the coffers of the hideous Cuban government. All right, so just think about that and understand that you are funding, if you're a taxpayer in this country, you're funding the Cuban regime, the Cuban totalitarian regime of the Castros.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is just fucking ridiculous, and I can't believe people are, oh, thank God for the Cuban doctors. Like, Cuban doctors are the
I thought they came here voluntarily on like a humanitarian mission. We actually employed them.
Are you a simpleton?
Sometimes. I'm called worse, actually.
So anyway, the group are being deployed as follows. They're going to send some to the Eastern Cape, Free State, and then they break it down. Most of them will be going to KZN. So anyway, that's what's going on. And Zweli Mkhize is so excited, and they all sang the old Russian anthem together and remembered the old days of Brezhnev and Lenin and, you know.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall.
Back in the days when that was actually a thing. Anyway, the BBC are reporting this morning in other headlines that the Tokyo 2020 Olympics will be scrapped instead of delayed again. So they've actually decided to can the whole thing.
Oh, they were going to make so much money off unpaid athletes who've dedicated their whole lives to their sports, and for some archaic reason that makes no sense, can't get paid for it.
Well, I feel sorry for those athletes, but otherwise.
Like, you didn't used to be allowed to play for your national team at rugby if you played professional rugby. It was like, well, this rule's just old and let's keep it.
Yeah.
Why can't you be a professional javeliner that gets paid to javelin for the 3 years in between the Olympics and then still compete in the Olympics? Because if you're the best, you're the best.
The Pentagon has officially released three videos taken by U.S. Navy pilots showing mid-air encounters with what appear to be UFOs.
Dum, dum, dum.
Not the first time, though, that they've released archived footage of unidentifiable objects that have been filmed by pilots. Everyone's making out like the great conspiracy has finally been uncovered. The Pentagon have done this before. They have it for a long time. They analyze it. They look at it. They go, can we figure anything out? Is there some threat to national security? Is there a reason to keep this secret? And after a while, they go, cool, we don't know what it is. Release it to the public.
Well, they've put this out. But what's important here is that the Pentagon have actually cleared this stuff for public consumption. And you can watch the video. You can go and look them up on the internet. They're all over the place now. But these objects move in extraordinary ways that we cannot explain.
Yeah, defy the rules of acceleration. They just suddenly go at speed and then stop again.
Yeah, there's no vehicle we have, Mbulelo, that can do this in the
sky. But you're going down an ugly path there. We can't explain it yet.
No, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, they say that they're releasing the videos in order to clear up any misconceptions by the public on whether or not the footage that has been circulating was real, or whether or not there's more to the videos.
Because some of the stuff has been leaked, and it's been leaked for a while.
I was tipped off on this, and I actually spoke about it on the show not so long ago. A friend of mine, who I do regard as being a fairly smart person, and someone who I don't think is a conspiracy theorist or a nutcase or a tin foil hat wearing person, he told me about this in, what, January, February. And I went and watched the videos then, because they were already out, but they just weren't, you know, officially stamped, you know, this is Pentagon stuff. And I found it interesting. I mean, I did go down the rabbit hole a little bit. Again, rabbit holes everywhere. It's because of these fucking rabbits in my garden. And if you want to watch them, you can go on there and tell us what you think. But the three video clips, which are called FLIR, Go Fast, and Gimbal, are available to download on the Naval Air Systems Command website. So,
yeah, and Derek from the internet knows what it all means because he's been watching the right YouTube videos for long enough. It's like we, you know, the Illuminati lizard people with all the resources in the world and with access to all the darkest science and magic of human history.
Yeah.
Can pull the fast one on the whole of society for generations, but they're going to be undone by Carl from, like, let's not use Carl as a hypothetical name because Carl's a lovely dog. They're going to be undone by Derek from the internet and his YouTube channel, yeah. Fact Bombs, Fact Bombs.
blog.
Like, fuck off, mate. Like, they might be conspiracying everyone, but right. You, from your basement with your never had sex, are not going to be the one to figure it out because you watched enough YouTube, asshole. Whatever's going on with these objects we can't explain, you need a lot of understanding of physics to even know why they don't make sense. They don't make sense because they accelerate instantly and stop instantly. Wait, that's why aerodynamics don't come into play. Like, don't have an opinion until you know why this is unexplainable.
Let's just recap. Derek has what in his basement? Has never had sex.
Yeah, he lives in his basement where he never has sex and sits
it's
in
not his basement. It's he his sits parents, and
is right on
it's
the
his
internet.
Parents' basement.
What do you do? Well, I'm right. What do you write about? Well, I don't know yet. It's a new day. We'll find out later.
All right. While we're talking about things from outer space, an asteroid estimated to be 1.2 miles wide.
Ooh, that's a proper one.
It'll fly just past Earth today. This morning, it is not expected to collide with the planet. So just when you thought COVID was the worst thing that could happen, this thing could just veer a little out of control.
I got like one decimal point wrong in the math.
Imagine, because, you know, over a long distance, like space, if this thing went 1 or 2 degrees... Funny.
Yeah, if it was a tiny decimal point.
Yeah.
But what's really scary about this shit is that those things are incredibly hard to detect because they don't emit much light. They tend to be very dark in color. So even if the sun is hitting them, they don't reflect a lot of light. Like ice comets and stuff do, yeah. But asteroids that are big rocks don't, especially ones that are like iron-based. They tend to be gray.
And they
move incredibly fast. Everybody thinks like Deep Impact, Armageddon, you're going to see this fiery ball coming. If they don't detect it will just be instant apocalypse. You won't know. They won't see it coming. They won't go tomorrow at 4 p.m. And you won't see it approaching and burning through the atmosphere like a giant object slowly impending doom. There will just be a bright flash. Half of everyone will be dead without even knowing they're dead. And within 6 hours to 6 weeks, the other half of everyone will be dead. And no one will even know what the fuck happened because your cell phone suddenly won't work and you'll feel rumbling all as the tectonic plates shift, get ripped to pieces and the tidal waves on the other side of the world. You'll just feel the earth permanently rumble. And within a few hours, the sky will be black and you'll go to your loved ones. Look, no electricity things work anymore. I am scientifically literate enough to be pretty fucking certain there was a super volcano or an asteroid on the other side of the planet. We've got a few hours.
And then what you do is grab a shovel.
You grab a fucking shovel. You see, I don't want to survive the apocalypse. If it's nuclear war, super volcano, asteroid, I want to be near ground zero. I want to be obliterated instantaneously without even knowing that it's coming.
Ready.
I don't want to slowly starve and be a catamite and eventually get eaten.
Is that the word of the day, Gord? Really?
No, I don't want to survive that shit. Like, if the species is going to rise from the ashes literally and like take, you know, 5,000 years to reestablish some sort of life.
To claw our way back to civilization.
Yeah, to claw our way back. My ancestors don't need to be part of that, mate. I don't plan to breed. Yeah. I mean, I'm not vehemently against it. I haven't written off breeding completely, but I have no plans for it. And so the future of humanity is not my problem. I just want to be, having the best sex of my life. Yeah. I want to have just finished. And then I want to blink, and at the end of the blink, there's nothing.
Yeah.
Done.
Well, that's what happened to the
asteroid. Will fuck us back into the like primordial soup.
That is what happened to the dinosaurs.
Well, Richard Dawkins in The Blind Watchmaker says the rats are next. So if you want to read what's next, let Dawkins tell you.
He says that's going to be the next species that succeeds.
He says they're the next super civilization.
I don't know. I've heard cockroaches, huh?
It's got to have.
I didn't say it. Richard Dawkins did. In a great book, the Blind Watchmaker.
Yeah, depends what you mean by a civilization. I mean, like, you know, are we defining that by a degree of similarity to what we currently know as civilization? Because then you need the parts of the brain that are, you know, enable interpersonal relationships, language, that kind of thing. So are we saying the next thing that could evolve to be a bit like what we are now, or are we saying the next thing that could become the dominant species on the planet? Because cockroaches definitely could, but they probably don't have the capacity to evolve into something that can do maths.
No, certainly not. Dr. Robin, incidentally, says, don't get us South African medical people started on those Cubans. God help the KZN rural folk who are going to be treated by them.
I never thought their art was any good either. It was like, you know, it looked like children's drawings.
What, the Cubans?
Yeah, it was just, I don't know, Picasso was massively overrated. I preferred him in his trompe l'oeil phase.
Yeah, so Chris makes a good point, too. The Cuban doctors can't speak English. They needed a translator to understand that Lady Pandora's speech. So how the hell are they going to treat people? Because, you know, part of being a doctor is that you have to communicate with your patient.
Bedside manner, yes.
Yeah, it's not just science and fixing things that are invisible.
But you don't necessarily need to be one of those, hey, tell me where it hurts, doctors. You might be one of those that's sitting in the back, like deciding, measuring out the dosages for stuff, reading the charts. Like, I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying they might not all be serving in a go talk to the patient throughout the day kind of capacity.
Well, here's an interesting article of history, which Maggie brings up. On the coronavirus thing, I sometimes think we're following Nongkawu says instruction to slaughter all the cattle in 1856. Later we'll look back and go, what the actual fuck? Yeah, Nongkawu says was this chief who decided that things were going badly, and the way to sort this out was to slaughter all the cattle, thereby decimating his tribe's wealth in the process.
Bit of a Pol Pot move.
Yeah, and plunging everyone into absolute poverty. Yeah.
Fun fact, decimation, and I'm sure you know this, it's comes from the Latin, where the Romans would punish legionaries by making them, for poor performance or cowardice, they would fight in groups of 10. Mm. And they would either kill one of the 10 or make the group decide which one of their 10 was going to be killed.
That's right.
And that punishment, the decimation, but now colloquially it means to just fuck shit up wholesale. Yeah. But I apologize for my bad cubism joke. It was an art nerd joke. It wasn't funny, and I should try harder next time.
Yes, that was quite weak, but I wasn't going to point it out. Now you have, so you've drawn extra attention to it.
I just believe in accountability, and I think that you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Tony says, morning, guys. A bit long, but here we go. Bill Bryson's Short History of Nearly Everything says, asteroid or comet traveling at cosmic velocities would enter the Earth's atmosphere at such a speed that the air beneath it couldn't get out of the way and would be compressed, like in a bicycle pump. As anyone who has used such a pump knows, compressed air grows swiftly hot, and the temperature below it would rise to some 60,000 Kelvin, or 10 times the surface temperature of the sun. In this instant of its arrival in our atmosphere, everything in the meteor's path, people, houses, factories, cars, would crinkle and vanish like cellophane in a flame.
Yep. Yeah, and I don't know the number, but it's more than 10 decimal places of less than a second in between it entering the atmosphere. Like, my favorite thing is assholes online who share shit without any idea. Like, there's this painting that gets shared. It's like, oh my God, weather is so beautiful, God is great, of these giant clouds encircling the globe as if it's a photo from space. And it's just like total bullshit. If the Earth is the size of a basketball, the atmosphere is the thickness of one coat of varnish painted on that basketball. Right. So the thing is traveling at thousands, tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of times the speed of sound.
That atmosphere is not going to stop it.
That process happens in like 1/10,000th of a second, that it just obliterates the entire surface.
Well, you know what, Gord?
It melts the Earth that it hits into glass.
You've made us feel better about COVID-19 because you've told us about how much worse it would be if this meteor that was lingering a couple of miles
away. Better. I mean, what's worse and what's better? Being locked in your house, slowly running out of money, never allowed to have sex again, or getting obliterated by an atmosphere that turns into plasma because it's 10 times hotter than the surface of the sun. I just want to disappear without knowing. I want to be hot. I want to be somewhere in between the and the bop, and the lights just go off.
All right. I got an interesting. No, it doesn't go like that, Sia, but close.
Up, flipping up, na do up,
skipping up, na do up,
and what up, na do do
do up, flipping up, na do up, skipping up, na do up, skipping up, na do.
Hansen.
So if humans are interested in the whole greater story that's constantly happening on us, how many asteroids actually miss us all the time, Stephen Hawking's Universe, a wonderful series. You can go on YouTube that.
Mm-hmm.
And great book if you've got the time. It's a
very hard book to get through. Oh. I did get through it, but more so that I could say that I got through it than to actually understand it.
I'll admit without any shame, it's still sitting on my bedside table under a pile of about 10 other books.
Yeah, mine's about 5 meters behind me, and I finished it, but
I did
just
it.
Purely to say that I did the homework.
No, dude, I did it, and I took it seriously, and I went over it a couple of times, but I'm too stupid. More than happy.
But, you know, you tried, and so that's what's important. You don't just to make up an opinion because Derek from YouTube.
Yeah, Derek from YouTube, that guy. So this is from Hermine on WhatsApp this morning. You can get hold of us on 0797482090. She says, Gareth, you have to get Carl checked out for a elongated soft palate. It can be corrected surgically. Now, let me explain something. He's already 9 years old. I'm not going to go and put him through that. I'll just deal with the snoring, and when he's dead, I'll get a new dog.
That's so blunt.
No, really. There's no way I'm going to put the poor dog through surgery now to have his snoring sorted out.
Also, if it's not infecting his quality of life, it sounds like
it's infecting my quality of life. So I'm going to have to deal with it. Trust me, surgery is not the answer here. Carl, you don't give a shit, right? Look, he's just got up and he's coming to me now. Come here, Carl. Good boy. Good boy. Oh. Even though you snore. Good boy.
Oh.
All right. Okay, everybody, it's 7 o'clock. We got lots to get to in the next hour. And among other things, we're going to be checking in with a friend of mine, Aki Anastasiou, about how we can groom better during lockdown. Gord, have you let yourself go a little bit in terms of, like, you know, trimming the hairs and...
I have let myself go long before it was cool, but I'm desperate for a haircut, and not so much because of how I look, but also just because it feels so uncomfortable to me to have too much hair.
We're also going to speak to Linda Reed, who's the head of data at Lightstone, because we've got to find out how much our behavior has changed because of the lockdown. It's arguably changed many aspects of our lives that you probably haven't even thought of. One of the most important being our shopping behavior. So we're going to speak to Linda, and she's going to tell us what they've got out of the data that they've been collecting. Analytics.
My best is the tunnies that still need to pick up every bag of mixed vegetables to inspect them to make sure they get the best one. Like, listen, Sharon, you need to roll the dice. You might get a bad slice of green pepper in that Mediterranean stir fry mix. You don't need to pick up all 14 of them. Hold them up to the light like you're trying to see if it's a counterfeit note. And then pick the one that's the best. It's mixed fucking veggies, Linda.
And there maybe one of your avos is a bit brown inside. It's not the end of the world.
Hypothetical, Linda. Not the lovely Linda who's going to join on the show. Sorry, bad example. But yeah.
So we'll speak to
picking shit up.
We'll speak to Linda, who's the head of data, and she'll tell us all about what they've done in terms of collaborating with other people, gathering a whole lot of info, and how our behavior may have changed. That's coming up in a little while. Gord is with us for another short while as well. And we've got something new from Sorbet, which may help you with your grooming, coming right up. CliffCentral.com. It's Wednesday. We are live, and we are here to keep you company through the course of your lockdown Wednesday. Thanks for listening to CliffCentral.com. Podcasts of all our shows are always available on the website, the Cliff Central app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.